It's good to see each of you this morning, and I'm thankful to be able to be here and preach the Word of God. We are continuing in our series, and will till the end of the year, that which is written in red, lessons from things that Jesus said. Today I want us to think about the subject of what he said about service, our servants. We have a tendency to judge people, including ourselves, by what we have more than what we do. We think of people as being great when they have many people serving them, instead of thinking of someone being great when that person is a servant. In Mark the 10th chapter, Jesus called them to him and said unto them, verse 42, "Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever shall be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." There are two key ideas in that passage that we need to emphasize in our lives. One is expressed by the word minister, and one is expressed by the word serve, or servant idea. We have a tendency sometimes in the church to refer to the preacher as the minister, and that is a term that we've come to use, and I have no problem with that. And yet there is a sense in which all of us need to be ministers, because that word suggests the idea of a servant. Sometimes even with ministers, we tend to judge them by how many people they have in the congregation or how many people they have doing things for them instead of what they are doing for others. We tend to judge people in government like that. I have seen in some countries, on television at least, as you probably have, how the ruler of a country might be carried in some kind of a situation where four men would be literally carrying him because he was the ruler. And we have a tendency to think that's the one that's great, when in reality it may be those people that are carrying him and serving him that are the greatest people in that situation. I personally think that this is one of the biggest problems that we have in our government today. What I'm about to say is not intended to be political, but I believe if all of our people who are in Washington would think in terms of what they can do to serve the people instead of what they can do to be an authority and to have their way, that we would have a better country. And I'm not for sure that we will solve many of the problems that we have in this nation until we have more leaders who think in terms of service than they do in terms of authority. Instead of what can I get, what can I give? Instead of how many I can have supporting me, how many can I help in different ways? I believe that same idea is true when it comes to our families. When a young man and a young woman get married, if each of them has the idea, "I want to see how much the other can do for me," instead of "what can I do for my spouse," they may not be successful in that marriage. But if they enter into that marriage with the idea that "I want to do everything that I can as a husband to take care of my wife, and I want to do everything that I can as a wife to take care of my husband," I believe that that relationship will be successful. At a business, the same thing is true. A good employer is one who takes care of his employees. A good master in the master-servant relationship is one who is interested in those who are serving him and even being a servant to them in ways that he can. The same thing is true in the church. if we are more interested in accomplishing some level of authority or being appointed as a leader in that sense than we are being a servant, we have missed the point. I have known some people down through the years that were very well off financially, but the ones that I remember the most were those who used what they had to help others instead of those who were more interested in seeing how much they could get. It would be interesting for each of us to take his checkbook and review it for a year. You might review it looking at all of the deposits that you have had. And you might be pleased that you've had that much income during the year. But go back and look and see how many checks you have written that have been to help other people. Some of those may have been written to support your family and take care of those needs. Some may have been written to give to others who were less fortunate than you. And all of that will not necessarily be found in your checkbook, because you may have done it in other ways. But the idea is not how much am I being served, but how much am I serving. Not what others can do for me, but what I can do for others. Just this last week, at least three times, I heard a reference made to what President John F. Kennedy said concerning the country. I did not agree with him on everything that he did, but I appreciate very much this statement. You remember when he made the statement, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." Whoever was talking about this was suggesting that it would be wonderful if we had people like that today, with that attitude in the leadership position as president or in the leadership positions in Congress. If people were asking, what can we do for our country, instead of what can it do for us? And if we apply that on every level, what can I do on my job to do the best work that I can do, instead of what can it do for me? Sometimes when a young person is applying for a job, the first thing he wants to know is what are the benefits. And it's not wrong to be concerned about those benefits, but should we not be concerned about what we can do, whether or not we can do the job, whether or not we can give ourselves to it, and not just about the benefits? In the work of the church, I think that is true. I remember one man in particular at Carthage who became a member of the church there several years ago. He was an influential man in the community. He owned quite a bit, had two or three stores, and was very much involved in the community. And he was not anything religiously. He decided that he needed to be, and he began to do some search. He looked at all the different religious groups in town. And eventually he became a member of the church. And as he was explaining what went on, he said, "The Church of Christ is the only one in town that told me about what would be expected instead of what they could do for me." And he said, "That's one thing that got my attention and caused me to start studying." When we're talking to others about coming to be with us or coming to Christ or to serve him, we need perhaps to emphasize that being a Christian is being a servant. There are benefits, yes, and it's not wrong to talk about those. But the greatest opportunity is, what can we do? What can we do for others? I want to share with you four passages of Scripture in addition to the one we've already noticed this morning that I think helps us to see what Jesus said. And as we read this, most of what we're reading will be in red. Sometimes there are sentences that bring us up to it. But in John the 13th chapter, verse 4, "He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after he poureth water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that be washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but to clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. He knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Notice, you call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. There is a way in which we need to respect Jesus as Master and Lord, and he deserves that respect. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Washing of feet is something that's been discussed in a lot of circles. There are those who participate in this as a part of a religious ceremony. This was not a religious ceremony on this occasion. We have no commandment to do that in a religious ceremony, and we have no example of it in that sense. What it has to do is service to other people. You are well aware, I'm sure, that at this time, most of the travel was done by walking. Many of the people wore sandal-type shoes. One of the best things that could be done to show hospitality was to wash the other person's feet or to provide that which was needed for that. And that's what Jesus is doing on this occasion. Perhaps he used this to show that we ought to be willing to stoop down as far as necessary to serve other people. The washing of feet, from one standpoint, would have been considered a very lowly act. And perhaps if we had walked by at that time, we would have thought the one who's having his feet washed is the one that is the master and the one that is important on this occasion. And yet on this particular occasion, the one that was washing the feet was the master himself. We sometimes judge things in the wrong way and think in terms of having things done for us instead of the opportunity of doing things for others. Being able to serve others is one of the greatest blessings that we can have. Jesus said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And I have noticed in some of the copies that I have that are red letter editions that there in Acts 20:38, that statement is also written in red. And appropriately so, because it is a quote from Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I do not understand this to mean that we are never to receive for ourselves. There are times when we do need to receive, and it is appropriate for us to receive. But he is saying that we need to be more concerned about giving than we do what's coming in our direction. And as we've talked about so many of these different relationships that we have in life, it is that attitude that can be so beneficial. If we think in terms of what can I do for others instead of what can others do for me. I have tried to develop through life a motto of three words in the form of a question. And that question is, may I help? May I help? May I do something for you? I believe that is a key approach to life, and that I think I can prove to myself that I get more good out of doing something for somebody else than having somebody else do something for me. Believe you me, there have been times in my life, particularly in my earlier preaching, when if it had not been for other people doing something for me, I'm not for sure I could have made it. And I'm glad that I have been on the receiving end in many instances in life. But I am even happier that I'm able to do something for someone else and give to someone else, particularly now, than to have someone else give to me. I have said to my children each Christmas, try to find somebody that is in need, and instead of giving me a Christmas present, use that to help them. And I think that is a good approach. In Matthew 19, beginning at verse 16, we have one of the other passages I want us to consider. Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Notice he says, What good thing shall I do? He said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He quotes some of the Ten Commandments and then gives the two basic ideas of working with the neighbor or honoring the neighbor that he mentions on another occasion. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, come follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor. Now Jesus didn't say that's the only thing involved. In fact, notice he mentions the commandments even before he mentions that. We need to be concerned about living right. I do not understand in these passages, this one and others that are related, that he is saying to the young man, you go and sell everything you have and you give every penny to the poor. He would still have had his responsibilities to his family. If he had a wife and children, he would have had responsibilities to them. He would have had responsibilities to his government, which Jesus teaches on other occasions. Jesus is not saying, give every penny you have to the poor, but he's saying, reach out to those who have need and give to them instead of hoarding it all for yourself. We need to learn from that. There are people who are poor. One day this week, as I was meditating and thinking, I began thinking, I wonder how many children there are in Chester County that will not have anything for Christmas this year. And we tend to come to the conclusion, well, there's not any like that. There are some like that. And then I began to think, what should I do, what can I do to help along that line? And in my case, I know of one or two men that are friends of mine who are in a position to know some of those people that have needs that I don't know about. And I have an opportunity to use them and to go through them. And I have concluded that instead of giving so much to my children and grandchildren, that I need to look for others and try to give to them. And in doing that, I believe that it will bring me more pleasure and satisfaction than anything that I can do. We need to look up toward the needs of those that are around us. I do not think that it is wrong for us to take care of our families. It is not wrong for us to pay our bills. I do not believe that it is wrong for us to look ahead and save for a rainy day, as we sometimes say, or to look to the time of retirement. All of this is a part of life. But when we put those things before serving others and we become like the rich farmer, you remember, in Luke 12, who tore down his barns and built bigger barns so that he could keep everything for himself, that's where the problem comes in. But when we begin to look at how we can share and how we can help others, we begin to see what Christianity is about. And although we should not do it for this reason, I believe the Bible teaches that the more we do for others, the more we will have done for us. God even taught back in the last chapter of the Old Testament in Malachi that if we do for him and bring to him that which is right, that he will open up the windows of heaven and shower blessings upon us. And I think I can look back in my life, and I'm rather sure you can too, if you'll think about it, and see times that I gave something to others and wound up getting more for myself. God can bless and God will bless if we live with the right attitude. Since we are approaching the Christmas season, I would suggest that all of us look for ways that we can give to others. Seek out those who may have needs beyond that which is reasonable. There are families, even in this area, that do not have the amount of food that they really need. You and I cannot take care of all of them. I realize that. We've got to face reality. But we need to be involved in doing what we can and seeking opportunities to do that. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, we have the story of the judgment that is given from the standpoint of the sheep and the goats. I don't think I need to read that in its entirety because all of us know about it. But it's dealing with what we do toward those that are hungry and thirsty and even a stranger, one that's naked and needs clothing, one that's sick or in prison and needs us to be concerned about them. And what Jesus does on this occasion is draw a contrast between the sheep and the goats. And the contrast is really between those who reached out to serve and those who did not reach out to serve, who saw the need and then did not do anything about it. And he comes to the conclusion and tells them that you did this to me. And they said, how did we do it to you? And he said, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. We need to recognize that service is one of the key ideas involved. On this occasion, he did not mention commandments such as having to do with stealing or murder or something like that. That's not to say that those are unimportant. We've just seen on another occasion that he mentioned those specifically. And I don't think he left them out on this judgment scene here to make a point that they're not important, but rather to include something else that we sometimes do not see how important it is, and that is service to others. A visit sometimes, which may not cost a penny, can be very helpful and encouraging to someone else. Most of us have more clothes in our closet than we need when there are people who do not have enough. I don't know exactly how many coats I have, but more than I need. Perhaps all of us need to look a little bit more seriously at life and what's going on and what we need to do along that line. The idea of getting our priorities straight, not what can be done for us, but what we can do for others. Of course, the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus gives in Luke 10 is probably one of the best stories that we have. Here again, you know that story. You know how that the man fell among thieves and was in need of help. And two passed by on the other side, the priest and the Levite. The Samaritan saw his needs, and he did two things that I think we need to notice. He did what he could do personally himself, and then he took the man where he could get what he needed that the Samaritan could not do for him personally. Sometimes there are things that others need that you and I cannot do personally, but maybe we know how to find someone who can, and that is important also. I realize that in the times in which we live, it is more difficult to help a stranger than perhaps any time in history. There are so many things happening that we do have to be careful. And I'm not suggesting that we throw everything to the wind and fail to use good judgment in our association with even strangers in this particular case. There are people that come to my door, and I probably get more than most of you because I live so close to the church building and have been associated with the work there for so long. There are people that will come to my door and tell me all kinds of stories. I cannot help every one of them. I am well aware that some of them are con artists. Sometimes it's hard to tell the situation. But there are people that come to my door that give me an opportunity to help. I remember one occasion back a few years ago, was the day after Thanksgiving. A man came to my front door. He had parked his car down at the church building. It was an older car. And he said, I'd like to sell you a wrench if I can. It's all I've got left, and I'm trying to get back home, and I don't have any gas. I did not buy his wrench. But he said, I'm also, I said, have you had anything to eat? And he said, no, I haven't had anything to eat for 3 days. I had him to sit down on the front porch. It was a warm day. I didn't think it best to invite him into the house. And I called my wife and told her to fix him a plate. We had, as most of you did on Thanksgiving, food left over. I fixed him a plate of food and he ate it on my front porch. He said, do you have a rake? I had a few leaves in the yard that needed raking. And I said, yes. He said, I wish you'd get it for me and let me rake some of those leaves. I feel much better if I can feel like I've done something instead of just taking a handout. And if there's anybody that ever needed a handout, it was he. I went and got my rake and let him rake some leaves for that. Heard the story one time of a lady who had a pile of wood over to the side of her yard. And if somebody came by asking for food, she would say, I'll fix you something to eat if you'll move that pile of wood over in this other place. And the next one that came by, she'd have him move it from that place back over to this one. She kept that wood just for that purpose and was probably a good idea. But she was ready to help and ready to serve someone. Have you seen the advertisement on television? I believe it's for Farm Bureau. You know, Charlie, the farmer that's always got the cap on, just saw this yesterday for the first time, where he's in a restaurant eating perhaps with his grandson, and he hears the waitress say something about one of her children that needs something and she can't afford it. And when he leaves a $100 bill as a tip. And his grandson asks him about it. And he never does explain it exactly to his grandson, but you can see the idea that is involved. I thought that that is really the idea of what we're talking about today, of being ready to do something for someone, not to get the credit. If you notice this report that Hal Ferguson puts on, some of you have read it on the internet, and it says down at the bottom, it doesn't, you can accomplish a lot if it doesn't matter who gets the credit. Isn't that what he says? I've always appreciated that and thought that that was a great approach. But the Good Samaritan saw a need. He didn't pass by on the other side. And by the way, he was the one that people would have thought less likely to do something about it when the two who passed by should have been more likely to do something about it. But he was there when the need was there, did what he could, and then took him to see that he could get what he needed. Folks, we need to have this attitude in life. We need to have humility. We need to have unselfishness. We need to get our priorities straight and realize that it's doing something for others that's more important than having others do something for us. And we need to be willing to even help a stranger when we're sure that we can help him in the right way. Be careful, yes, but to reach out to help those. There are people, probably at this time, more than any time in our lives, who really need help. And sometimes it doesn't take a lot to really help a person get over the hump. And that's what Christianity is about. Jesus had a lot to say about service, and he gave the example of service to those who watched his life. As you and I live for Jesus and live the Christian life, let's think in terms of what can I give more than what can I get? What can I do for others more than what can others do for me? And I will guarantee you that you will be happier, that you will find more happiness from doing things for others than having others do things for you. That's what Christianity is about. And in all these lessons that we're studying from what Jesus said, we're coming to the same conclusion, that being a Christian is just living a life that's according to the teachings of the Bible, worshiping God and serving others. And the best person to do that is a Christian. If you're not a Christian and need to be baptized into Christ today, or if you're an unfaithful Christian and need to come asking for forgiveness, the invitation is yours as together we stand and sing.
Have thine affection been nailed to the cross?